President Bush said today that diplomats are making progress toward a new UN Security Council resolution on Iraq. Under the resolution, the U.S. and its allies would transfer sovereignty to a new Iraqi government on June 30th. After that date, the Coalition Provisional Authority, or CPA, will cease to exist. Many Americans now working in the CPA will be attached instead to a huge new U.S. embassy in Baghdad. The last time a big U.S. military operation in a country was overseen by the local U.S. embassy was in Vietnam, and that created some problems, as NPR's Tom Gelton reports.
Pentagon officials this week let it be known that the 135,000 U.S. troops in Iraq will soon be under the command of a four-star general, the highest rank in the U.S. military. Only in Korea is there a U.S. force with its own four-star commander. There hasn't been a wartime arrangement quite like this since Vietnam. And the four-star general in Iraq will have to share the turf with a powerful U.S. ambassador presiding over a big embassy, again like in Vietnam. There, General William Westmoreland sometimes quarreled with the ambassadors he worked under, Maxwell Taylor and then Ellsworth Bunker. Charles Hill, who was Bunker's chief of staff in Saigon, recalls that the military operations and the diplomatic work weren't well coordinated.
When I got there, it was pretty clear that this was a problem, that something had to be done that would bridge this gap.
U.S. officials assigned to the embassy in Saigon would typically set up a development program in some rural area, Hill recalls, opening a small factory, for example, to provide local employment.
Well, if you're there doing that and you don't know that the military has got an operation planned for that same area, it can just throw everything off.
General William Westmoreland was not a commander anxious to share authority, his colleagues recall, and clashes between him and the U.S. ambassador were frequent. David Halberstam, covering the Vietnam War for the New York Times, remembers that Westmoreland generally came out on top.
When you get into a huge military commitment, the military takes over. It dominates. The State Department becomes really peripheral.
Halberstam says Ambassador Ellsworth Bunker generally deferred to Westmoreland, in part because Bunker fundamentally believed in the war effort, but also, according to Halberstam, because Bunker suspected he could never match Westmoreland's clout with the White House.
The president isn't fearful of Ellsworth Bunker saying, Mr. President, I don't think it can be done, but he is, in a combat situation like that, fearful of a four-star commander saying, Mr. President, I don't have enough troops.
After the Tet Offensive in 1968, General Westmoreland was replaced by another four-star Army general, Creighton Abrams. Charles Hill says Bunker and Abrams established a more cooperative relationship. To reduce conflict between the embassy and the military command, a joint mission council was set up.
There would be 12, 13 people that were required to meet once a week in the embassy under the joint chairmanship of Bunker and Abrams. And there they would thrash things out. They would complain and vent, and they would cooperate, and everybody would hear everybody else's problems, and they'd try to get a basic understanding and resolve them right there on the spot on a weekly basis.
Iraq is a very different case than Vietnam, with a smaller force suffering far fewer casualties. Communications are immeasurably better. The U.S. military, meanwhile, has become far more experienced at dealing with political matters. The head of U.S. forces in the Middle East, General John Abizaid, is a fluent Arabic speaker. But political-military coordination remains a challenge. Army Colonel Paul Hughes, the first director of strategic planning for the U.S. occupation in Iraq, says in the beginning, units working on the civilian side didn't get the support they needed from military commanders.
This inability to coordinate and synchronize the activities of the military combat operations and the reconstruction operations led to a great deal of confusion, especially in the minds of the Iraqis, and it undercut our credibility as a nation.
The U.S. force in Iraq is likely to be commanded by General George Casey, currently the Army's Vice Chief of Staff. The U.S. ambassador will be John Negroponte, now the ambassador to the United Nations. The general and the ambassador will have staff assigned to each other's Baghdad headquarters, but Colonel Hughes says effective coordination between the embassy and the military command will depend on how well the men interact personally.
At that particular level, you can have great staff work doing this sorts of thing, but it's really going to boil down to the personalities of the leaders there working together.
Coincidentally, both General Casey and Ambassador Negroponte have Vietnam connections. Negroponte was posted in Saigon as a young political officer in the 1960s. General Casey's father was killed in Vietnam in 1970 while serving as a major general in command of the 1st Cavalry Division. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.